Thank you, worship team. Excellent job. Again. So Amber's taking some little ladies and guys back. So I guess just ladies today. No little boys. So thank you, Amber, for doing that. Sometimes the parents need a break and be able to listen and hear what's going on. So I would listen to Matt's sermon last week. He did an excellent job. He did a really good job. I learned more about trees than I've ever known before. But man, it was great. He just did a great job in the way he intertwined that with our Christian life. He just did an awesome job. By the way, he's preaching in Pacific City today. And so so getting more opportunities to preach. And so who knows what God's going to do with him, but he's doing an awesome job with our youth. And so he told me the Lord was still keeping him here for a while. So I'm glad to hear that. So anyway, it's a blessing to be able to be here, be back with you today. I want to remind you of our motto, and I should have put this on our overhead. Our motto is to become like Christ and to make Christ known. Okay? To become like Christ and to make Christ known. That's kind of our mission statement. That's our motto. And the topics that we're talking about regarding why church, and particularly why church to make disciples, goes directly along with our motto, to become like Christ and make Christ known. Our fourth marker for becoming a disciple is breaking every stronghold. Now, wouldn't it be nice that when you entered the kingdom of God, that all of the old fleshly things and the old strongholds and everything else would just have flushed away and been a remembrance rather than a permanent or a present thing in our lives? Wouldn't that have been nice? It'd have been great when we received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that immediately we began to conform and become and permanently be the character of Christ. That would have been wonderful. But as you all know, every one of us struggle. Okay? If you're here today and you're looking for a perfect church where there's perfect people, you may need to go down the street. Because every one of us struggle. Every one of us have issues in our life, hopefully, that we're trying to overcome, that we're not just content with the status quo. Our desire is, as a child of God, our desire is to become more like Christ and to make Christ known. That's our desire. Okay? We don't always get it right. We stumble sometimes. But our heart is that we become like Christ. I was listening to a program the other day, and I was listening to a lady who used to be an atheist who came to know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And she said her litmus test for Christianity was not Christians, because Christians stumble and fail. Her litmus test for Christianity was Christ himself. And it was because of that that she came to know Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. So, why didn't the Lord remove all of the garbage from our lives when he took up permanent possession in our heart? What's the reason? You would think that somehow he would just do a wash and it'd be gone. Well, I want to propose a few ideas to you And in doing that, I want to look at Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Okay, I'm going to do this. Paul, I'm going to need an extra microphone. So, here's what I want to do. There are some of you here today whom the Lord, you had strongholds in your life, but the Lord has removed those from you. Okay? So, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I didn't call anyone because I want everyone to have an opportunity. I'm going to, at a certain time in this message, and I'm always asking you to pray the Lord, and a lot of times people are going to be fearful. But if the Lord tells you to do it, you just need to do it regardless. Does that make sense? Whether you're fearful or not, every one of us love you. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for you, very briefly, I would like for you to tell us, as your family, strongholds or a stronghold that the Lord has delivered you from, how long you had been in that stronghold, and how long since you have been broken from that. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'll give you an opportunity so you begin thinking about it. And as the Lord impresses upon your heart to do that, I want you to just come and sit on these pews near the front so we don't have to wait for everybody just to come up, okay? So, so you'll have an opportunity, right? So you'll have a long time to struggle with the Lord about this. Or you can just do it, okay? So, Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Scripture says, "Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before." Isn't that interesting? Did you know that when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, that God could have wiped out all of the nations before them? But he said, "I didn't do that because I wanted my children to know how to fight. I wanted my children to be warriors. They need to know how to fight." So that's the reason God did not deliver all of the Moabites and Ammonites and Hittites and all the otherites, parasites, from Israel, because one of the reasons is he wanted the children of Israel to know how to fight. We need to be warriors in the kingdom. We need to be warriors in the kingdom. We are in a battle for our lives, just as the children of Israel were in a battle for their lives. Listen, God wants to raise up warriors and not wimps. Okay? And I guarantee you, anything that's worth having is worth struggling for. And if you don't struggle for it, you're not going to appreciate it. If God just gave you the land, if God just gave you everything, it's kind of like, woohoo, I can do what I want with it. No. But I tell you what, if you struggle for it and you fight for it and you gain it because of the exertion you put forth, there's something about that that's worth keeping once you get it. Right? So God is trying to raise up some warriors in his kingdom. He wanted to raise up warriors in the children of Israel. Listen, Israelites had to fight for every inch of ground they took. The enemy had the land, but they had to fight for every inch. And I'm telling you, individuals, my family, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes you just have to fight for every inch you gain in the kingdom of God. You have to fight. You have to be ferocious in the kingdom of God. Listen, I want to tell you this. there are areas in our lives, in each of our lives, that we need to press in and we need to get control of and we need to overcome in our lives. We need to be overcomers. We need to be victorious. We need to be victors and not defeated. And we have to fight for that. It's not easy, but it's worth it. I guarantee you, it's worth it. So let me ask you a question. Are there areas in your life where you say, hey, you keep saying, well, I'm going to do better. I'll get it right next time. Or you tell your spouse, I'll do better. I'm going to do better. If that happens in your life, perhaps there's a stronghold in your life. It's not something that you just can will into being. It's something that you have to fight for. Okay? And so as I'm speaking to you, there's some things that are dropping into your heart right now that the Lord is telling you, you're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to fight for this. You're going to have to fight for this. Sometimes the Lord just delivers us. Boom, bam, woo, praise the Lord. Sometimes we have to fight for it. And we can't be wimps as we do it. Don't give up. I think what breaks the Lord's heart and what breaks my heart, especially when I'm in counseling and I've got a person who I'm counseling, and she said, well, you know, it's just too hard. I'm not going to fight for it. I'm going to just keep doing what I've always done because that's easier. It is easier, but you're not going to grab any rewards for it. And you're not going to take the land that God has orchestrated or ordained for you to take. Here's the one of the things, the children of Israel, don't you think that the Lord wanted the Israelites to learn to trust him in the battle? You're not going to do it on your own. It's an impossibility. You've tried that. It don't work. But the Israelites, the children of Israel, who knew, who had to learn how to war, needed to learn how to war with the Lord, inflicting them and affecting them in a way that they could not do it themselves. They had to learn to trust the Lord in the battle. They had to trust the Lord over fear. They had to trust the Lord over struggles. They had to trust the Lord over anger and animosity and rebellion. They had to trust the Lord in every single area of their life if they were going to take the land. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants us to be overcomers and not overcome. Let me tell you, again, we're going to give you a definition for a stronghold. Spiritually speaking, a stronghold is an area in a Christian's life where the enemy has positioned himself to defend against the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. A stronghold is an area in a Christian's life where the enemy has positioned himself to defend against the sanctifying process of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to do something in our lives. He wants, sanctification means set apart, but it also means that there's a cleansing process that takes place. And so the Holy Spirit wants to cleanse us from everything that is not of God. Sometimes it's generational things, sometimes it's personal things, sometimes it's things we cannot break out of, but the Holy Spirit wants to work with us to overcome those things. But here's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. And he did it just a few moments ago. He allows you to recognize the problem. That was a work of the Holy Spirit. He allows you to recognize the problem. Now, here's the deal. You can either do one of two things. You can either say, oh, yep, there's a problem. Too bad. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Are you going to say, yep, there's a problem. Lord, I'm going to work with you to address these issues in my heart so that I can be an overcomer and not be overcome. See, that's your decision. It's a Holy Spirit and you. It's not just the Holy Spirit, and it's just not you. It's you working with him to complete what the Lord has started working in your life. I'm so glad you're here today, because I feel like God wants to do something amazing for you in this process. But you need to understand that you don't have to stay stuck all your life. You need to understand that. You don't have to stay where you are the remainder of your days. So the Christian is either going to be willing to come alongside the Holy Spirit and address these issues in their lives, or they're going to take a back seat and say, I'll do it later. I know there's a problem, but I just don't want to face it right now. It's sometimes a pretty big deal. Sometimes a really big deal. But I guarantee you, if you want to, people can come along beside you and help you when you're unable to do it yourself. I think that's what the church is for. It's to help you. And I say that cheek and tongue in cheek. That is what the church is for. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And here's the thing. A stronghold is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And that's why King Solomon said this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. King James Version says it's a wellspring of your life. Now, we could camp out here on this verse for a while, but I just want you to understand that God says we must guard our hearts. Turn to your neighbor and say, guard your heart. Tell them, protect your heart. Solomon said, above all else, above everything else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Above all else, protect your heart. Why does he want you to protect your heart? Because one of the reasons he wants us to protect our heart is because it's a wellspring of life. It determines the direction your life takes. Where your heart is determined or is revealed by the decisions you make in life. So who are your friends? Are they healthy or unhealthy? Your heart determines that. What activities do you participate in? Are they healthy or are they unhealthy? Your heart determines that. So, youngsters, younger than I am, don't think that you can make unhealthy decisions as a youth and think that someday, oh, you know, when I get 25, when I get 35, when I get 40, I'm going to just change all that. It doesn't work that way. You can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to quit that when I get 35 years old. Bam, I'm 35, I'm going to quit that. It's going to get worse, because what happened is, because it's your heart, it takes a hold of you and it'll strangle you. It'll strangle the life out of you. And you can say, oh, I won't do that when I get 35. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself, because it will kill you. It's a heart issue. You need to make healthy choices now. You need to make healthy friends now so that you can make healthy friends and healthy choices later on. Listen to someone who's older than you. Sometimes I get my wisdom because I've been through garbage and I've learned by my mistakes. Don't learn from your mistakes. Learn from other people's mistakes. The second reason he says guard your heart is because you are in constant attack from the enemy. Constant attack from the enemy, because the stronghold is a heart issue. Now listen, when I fail to trust the Lord in any area of my life, there's the potential for the enemy to come in and start establishing a foothold and eventually getting a stronghold in my life. So anytime I get fearful, anytime I get stressful, anytime I start worrying, that means I'm not trusting the Lord. That also means that's an open door for the enemy to begin to work in that area of my life. So, does mainstream media cause you anxiety? So we need to be careful, our heart, what we're watching, what you're embracing. And there's a difference. Did you know that you can watch some movies or see some things and it not go to your heart? I'm not going to let that go in my heart. But when you begin to embrace it in your heart, there's a stronghold that can begin. And I could tell you story after story after story after story. And parents, let me just say this. Your children are not able to guard their heart. That's your job. 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 Your children are not. So you need to be careful what they're what. Disney used to be good. Disney used to be a family program. I wouldn't let my children watch Disney for nothing right now. It's garbage. It's promoting things that God says is abomination. He says it's evil. You need to be careful what your children watch. You need to be careful the books that they read. You need to be careful the games that they play on social media, on whatever. You need to be careful, and not just careful. And don't just say, don't do that. You need to tell them why. You need to sit down with them in a loving way and say, this is the reason. Because we're in a battle. And the enemy wants to grab your heart. And the enemy wants to kill you, to destroy you. And the way he does that is through your mind. And so you need to guard your mind. You need to guard your heart. And I want to help you with that. Don't just say, man, I'm your dad. Just do what I say. How's that working for you? I'm your mom. Just do what I say. That's what my dad used to say. That's what my dad used to say is just do what I tell you. You put your feet under my table. You eat the food. I provide for you. You just do what I say. And it made sense. And I did what he said because I wanted to eat. I wanted a place to sleep. But you have to guard your heart because the enemy is trying to do everything he can to establish strongholds in your life, which is going to cause problems for you the rest of your life unless Jesus delivers you. Because he's the only deliverer. No one else can do it. Only him. Guard your heart. Guard your children's heart. Another reason we need to guard our heart is because eventually what you believe in your heart will one day be exposed and judged. Jesus said this to the Pharisees, religious nuts, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart is going to come from your mouth. It will be exposed. Another passage of scripture says that every idle word we speak will be judged. Why is that? Because it shows what's in the heart. But here's the deal. If you want a thermometer of where your heart is, pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. If you want a thermometer of what's in your heart, pay attention to your actions. How are you acting? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to say, hey, wake up. Wake up. Because every one of us have some heart issues that we need to deal with. And God wants to help us with that. He's given everything necessary for life and godliness. Everything you'll ever need for life and godliness, but we don't put it into effect. Don't cast the treasures of the Lord away. Receive them. Allow the Lord to do in your heart what He wants to do. Protect your heart. Do you understand what that means? Guard your heart. Guard your children's heart. Guard your grandchildren's heart. Do as much as you can to guard them. Help them. Establish them in the ways of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to stop here because we've got a few people who want to share how the Lord has delivered them from strongholds, and how long they were in it. So, Miss Pam, would you come first since you were up here first?
Right. I grew up kind of down and depressed. If you talk about people who are negative, I was. Depression, I was. And I didn't really see it too much until I got into college. And then after I hit a certain point in my life, I had to get on medication because I was in a bad place. My mother committed suicide when she was 49, and I was kind of headed in that direction. But medication didn't really help. It kind of makes you just like this. Yeah. And somewhere in the process, I met Pastor Brad, and there was a time when God said, you don't need to take it anymore. I wondered, am I going to need to take this? And Pastor said, well, when you stop taking it, you're going to feel highs, you're going to feel lows. The lows are going to be lower than you felt before. And when that happens, you need to come see me. So we worked through a lot of different things. I used to be a glass half empty person. I don't think that's the way I am anymore.
That's right.
I don't think my mind is that same way. And I do have times where I'm down and depressed, but I don't live with it. I lived with it for years,
right.
And Larry can tell you. Even I look at my one child, and he's kind of like I used to be, and I'm very frustrated. I'd like to see him change. But anyway, is that what you want?
That's good. So how long have you been free?
I don't know. When did we work on that? It's been years. It's been enough years. And I really, there are still struggles, but it's not like there were.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Ms. Pam. Donita? You step up. You need to get under the light so the Zoom can see you.
Hello. I think it's been maybe 5 years or 6 years ago when I came and counseled with the pastor because I had a problem with alcohol. And I convinced myself that I didn't, but really I did. And I depended on it a lot because I was just really probably uncomfortable in my skin. Anyway, we counseled. And I have no more problems with it. I mean, it's gone. It's been, praise the Lord, and it was so easy because it wasn't easy before. I'd tried before and nothing helped. So praise the Lord. And He's also helping me in other areas of my life as far as issues of abandonment and depression like Pam suffers from, but those are, you know, ongoing struggles, but we're working through it. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Danita. Oh, you have.
What happened? Okay. So I married a man 30, I don't know how many years ago that's been, that was angry. I didn't know he was that angry. And he hurt me. I hurt him back. He hurt me some more. I hurt him back. We hurt our kids. I was angry, just as angry as he was. And then I was bitter and resentful and angry and so angry. And that went on and up and down, because I had met Pastor too, and Pastor Dean, and worked through a lot of things. I never got that deep root of bitterness completely gone. And I don't know, 5 years or more ago, Glenn hit the bottom of whatever it was, and we went to counseling and discovered what some of the root causes of that bitterness, his anger, the things that affected both of us, the things that affected us individually from childhood and beyond. And I can say that for the last 3 years, I don't have a stronghold of bitterness. I don't have a stronghold of anger.
Hallelujah.
The last year pretty much broke the stronghold of resentment. Now, I must say that when I get up in the morning and I'm not completely trusting the Lord, the enemy comes back full force. Wednesday, he came back and hit me with a pile of stress. And I was a bitter, crabby, angry, grumpy, foul mouth person. That entire day, everybody at work had to deal with me, huh, Bryce? And the next day, I'd gone to bed. Sorry, God, please help me, Lord, whatever. Got up praying the next morning. It's like he had lifted that off of me. I think he let me go through that to remind me that I got to trust him when work is stressful, when my health is stressful, when anything is stressful. Otherwise, I open the door to the enemy and he comes back and just pushes every little button. And so God reminds me how faithful he is. By the next day, how happy I was. Bryce can testify. I was 100% different person. It was the weirdest thing. Flip flop. But it lasted the rest of the week, and I haven't dove down into that anger or anything. It's like God is so good. Praise and now him. We're walking in freedom.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Jake, you needed to share. I want you to share. Okay.
If I can make it. There we go. I'm up there. I wanted to share a couple of strongholds that I've had in my life with you. And I want you to know that just because they were strongholds in my life doesn't mean they were or need to be in yours. You know, everybody's different, so there's different things, and people are able to handle different things. So my two strongholds that I want to share with you were drinking and smoking. And I remember my last cigarette. Actually, I want to start with saying that I didn't realize it at the time, but God had me on a path to salvation. And I didn't know that, and he was preparing me. So I needed to clean up some things in my life. My last cigarette was February the 2nd, 1986, 11 o'clock at night. I still remember that as clear as day. And I had been struggling with wanting to quit, but I wasn't able to. And then for some reason that night, that was it. And God delivered me from the smoking.
Praise the Lord.
Drinking, I wasn't excessive, but I drank beer. Once in a while, some heavier alcohol. But it just wasn't good for me, okay? I was not a happy person at that time. I am now that I have Betty in my life and the Lord in my life. But I wasn't at that time. And it's kind of funny how that happened, the delivery from alcohol in that. Excuse me. We used to do a street ministry, and the minister that we worked with, we went snowmobiling with in Yellowstone. And went out for pizza that night. And of course, she didn't drink. Betty didn't drink. But I had a beer. That was it. Well, about 6 months later or so, at what we called the Chuck Wagon, where we fed the homeless, I was sharing with people that it dawned on me that I hadn't drank any alcohol until the last time I was with Jenny. And it made it sound like she and I were sitting around drinking beer. But she wasn't. But it, I hadn't even realized that I had been delivered from alcohol for, gosh, a long time. Wow. And didn't even know it.
Praise the Lord.
So it's really neat how the Lord took those things away from me. And I'm kind of glad this came up right now, because what's been happening with me lately, I am going through some struggles, health issues. And I think the Lord has revealed to me lately that, you know, Paul talked about not looking back at things. I think he was talking about, he didn't want to brag about what he had accomplished. Well, what I'm realizing is I do need to look back at what God has accomplished in me and yeah. for me and
yep,
through me.
Yep, yep, yep.
So he's given me so many victories, not just in those two strongholds, but others. Yeah. He's given me so many victories in the past that I can count on him to give me victory now through what I'm going through.
Amen.
So I praise God for that. And I thank him for revealing to me that I do need to look back so that I can have a look forward that's happy and Amen. Good and successful.
Amen.
So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
I got to know Brad through actually Chuck Merrick.
Right.
Years ago. And we, Pam and I, used to teach marriage class because we needed it. And Chuck Merrick was in our marriage class. And I always, I loved Chuck because he could fix anything and I can't fix anything. And because of Chuck, then I got to know Brad. And I being a dairy farmer, I looked at the cow's eyes and I'd look at pastor's eyes, and I could see what he was made out of. Some days were better than other days. Yeah. He wasn't always in a good place, but I had bitterness in my life, and it doesn't matter what anybody here does. Okay. But, you know, I expect my boys to be good, or, you know, and I had some offenses. I had some bitterness according to, towards a couple of my boys, and bitterness isn't from the Lord, and I'm kind of hardcore, and pastor helped me work through it. Okay. And when I first, you know, we weren't, you know, Pam says we're not going to no Baptist church. Yes. But anyway, when I first started coming here, after the bitterness was healed and everything, I did chew, and I loved chewing. And, you know, I still think about loving chewing, but, you know, when you get enough of the Lord in you, you know, you can get rid of your problems, you know, and you can replace them with the 9 gifts of spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, and that stuff, you know, because that's what you replace it with. Yeah. And so, just want to share that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I was going to mention that, Larry, but I'm glad you did. So once you are released from the stronghold, you then need to receive. So there's a void in your life. And so you need to receive the Holy Spirit. If you have hatred, bitterness, resentment, you need to receive his love. If you have anxiety, fear, stress, you need to receive peace. Those kind of things, you need to just replace that. So when you remove it, you need to automatically receive what the Spirit has for you. Okay. Man, this has been good. Been really good. I'm going to wind up here in about 5 minutes. Solomon was the wisest man in all the world. But did you know that he had strongholds? It's almost like he knew how to apply the truths of God to everybody else. But he didn't know how to do it for himself. And I'm not picking on Solomon. I'm just kind of making an observation. He had, I think he had a problem with women. Scripture says that he had 700 wives, 300 concubines. So I want to read Mark Harrison's an excerpt from his book, Apple, Snakes, and Bellyaches. The name of this is Solomon's Sore Lips. King Solomon of Israel had 700 wondrous wives, and he kissed them all goodnight. He puckered 700 times, and although he kissed them at the rate of 2 or 3.5 per hour, it still took 3.4 long hours before his late last wife was in bed, and Solomon was nearly dead, overwhelmed by halitosis and lip-fatigued by puckerosis. When Solomon first married them, he really didn't have a clue, although it made an awful racket when the great horde said, "I do." All 700 nagging wives meant just as many pairs of jaws and several million gripes and groans and quite a lot of mom-in-laws. At first, he kissed frenetically, but soon just alphabetically. He'd kiss his way from Abigail to Zelpha and Judea, taking 2 10-minute breaks between Bilhah and Leah. He mostly hated Thursdays, for that was concubine. That night, besides the horde of brides, he had to kiss the concubines. While concubes were less favored, he owned 251, so kissing them required an hour if he kissed them on the run. As Solomon grew very old, he left his alphabet technique and tried a different way to go that he believed was quite unique, and started with the ugliest to get the worst out of the way. Then he kissed the sick ones who had been in bed all day. Then he kissed the ones who with colds and those with nasal hair smooching rapidly along until he gladly reached the fair. The kissing of all the wives goodnight gave Solomon his greatest strain. He kissed and kissed and kissed and kissed until his whole mouth felt pain. Each evening when his job was done somewhere near 3 o'clock a.m., he always went straight to bed because he had to wake at 5 to kiss them all good morning again. I've heard that when he finally died and went up to his home on high, his welcome wasn't quite divine. It made a chill run through his spine to see 1,000 concubines standing puckered in a line. He cried, "I'm doomed. Alas, poor me. I wish I'd married sensibly." So that is from Mark Harrison. Scripture says we're going to skip on down to First Kings chapter 11. I'm sorry, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you and you possess it, live in it, and you say, "I will set a king over me like the nations who are around me. Moreover, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never again return that way. He shall not multiply wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away, nor shall he greatly increase silver and gold for himself." This is a command that the Lord had given the kings of Israel. He told them that you're not to marry a lot of wives. You're not to gather riches, and you're not to get horses and accumulate horses. King Solomon went against everything God said. He began to compromise. 700 wives, 300 concubines, 400 stalls for horses, 12,000 charioteers. And he acquired 25 tons of gold per year while he was king. So he went against everything God said, and it caused a stronghold in his heart. When you allow possessions to be the God of your life, when you allow lust to be the God of your life, here's the deal. He didn't trust God that God would take care of Israel. And so he married 700 princesses so that the areas around him, the countries around him, would not attack Jerusalem. Because if you marry someone from Syria, Syria is probably not going to attack you. If you marry someone from Lebanon, probably Lebanon's going to attack you. So he put his trust in his intellect rather than in God. If you get 4,000, well, we'll just say 8,000 horses. I don't know how many horses. 4,000 stalls for horses. You're putting your trust in the horses rather than you're putting your trust in God. If you acquire mass amounts of riches, you're putting your faith in riches rather than in God. I see that's what Solomon did. You can read Ecclesiastes. I read it a few times this week. You can read Ecclesiastes and you can see Solomon says, I gave my heart to wine. I gave my heart to mirth. I gave my heart to pleasure. He keeps saying that over and over and over. I gave my heart. I gave my heart. I gave my heart. Whenever you give your heart to something, you're going to establish a stronghold. So I want to ask you, what have you given your heart to? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Give your heart to Jesus. Then you can have a stronghold with him. You want that stronghold. You want that bond. You want that working in your life to establish good things, God things, because it will lead you to life, whereas these other things will lead you to death. You have a communication card. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to be here to pray for you. We're going to have an invitation, but if you need, sometimes it takes more than just coming forward for a prayer to break these strongholds. Sometimes there needs to be deliverance. Sometimes it's prayer and fasting. Sometimes we have to find the entry point so that we can close the doors for those things. Okay? So it may take longer than just a prayer, but I do want to pray with you, and I do want to encourage you to acknowledge what God has already shown you in your heart and also begin taking the steps, agree with him that I'm going to overcome this, I'm going to battle this, I'm going to be victorious. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for these who've shared. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst here. And God, I thank you for the victories that are going to take place. And I ask, oh Lord, that every single one of us who are here this morning, that we would walk out of the junk that we have been ensnared in. And so, Lord, we just ask that today, that you would continue the process and we would agree with you and come along beside you and work with you for these things to be accomplished. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for the testimonies and how you have been at work in the lives of these individuals who've shared. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.